Just a quick word as we begin the message today, that throughout this season, the sermon series in Easter of Hope Lives, I'm putting daily devotional readings in with Bible verses and some brief devotions in the Good Shepherd app under sermon notes throughout the week. So I encourage you to check that out. Maybe not right now. You can listen first and then check it out later, unless you get bored. No, just kidding. But let us pray. Let us pray. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, but a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. Well, has anyone here ever failed spectacularly? Anybody? Okay, a few of us know this feeling, right? Have you ever had one of those moments where words come out of your mouth and you immediately regret it and think, I can't take that one back? You know, as I was thinking about this week, I remembered a time I'd almost forgotten about when I was in high school many, many, many years ago when what you don't know about me maybe is I was the smallest kid for the first 2 years of high school. I was that little guy, but I had a really big mouth. I thought I was very funny and very witty, and so we were goofing around in class one day, and I said something to one of my classmates that I thought was very funny and very clever. She did not find it clever nor funny. And she ran out of the classroom after when the bell rang, immediately to her locker to meet her boyfriend, who was the biggest guy in school and could literally bench press three of me. And I thought, oh, that was a good run, but my life is ending today. Here I am, nothing happened. It turns out it ended up being okay, but I regretted that moment. But more seriously, maybe you've done something a little more serious in your life where you've made a mistake, where you really hurt someone deeply in a way that you felt like you could never take back. You know, in this Easter season, we continue our theme, Hope Lives, and one of the things we've been exploring is what gets in the way of our hope, or what causes us to lose hope. And when we think about that, one thing we probably immediately think of is things around us, right? Something happens in our life or in the world outside us, and it causes us to lose hope. But another thing to consider, and that I think is even harder, is when that hope is lost because of something we've done, right? Our own failures or mistakes. Because then a situation outside us is now problematic, but it's because of something I did, and now I also have this hurt, this shame, this guilt in here. But thankfully, God knows this story. The Bible is filled with stories like this. So if that's you, know that you are in the right place today. And is there any better example in Scripture of hope lost than Peter? Peter, who was this bold, courageous leader among the disciples, he was the first to speak out, the first to step out in faith. But he was also often the first to mess up, right? Peter is not known for his cautious, let's think this through first approach. Peter would make a terrible engineer, I think, when he came. But he was the one who was the first to come walking out on the water in the middle of the night from the boat when Jesus was walking on water. He was the first one to speak and step out. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And while some of the other disciples said some different things, Peter was the one who finally got it and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus said, "Ding, ding, ding, we have a winner." He probably didn't say that, but he did, I'm sure, turn to Peter with a huge smile on his face, the pride of a rabbi with his disciple who finally gets it. And he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." It was this beautiful moment. But unfortunately, it was only a few verses later, literally, when Peter puts his foot right back in his mouth, tries to correct Jesus, and Jesus says, "Oh, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." We were so close, Peter. But this was a common pattern in their relationship. And with some of the other disciples as well, as Jesus formed them as disciples, as leaders. To be a disciple is to be challenged and to be changed by Jesus. It was for them, and it is for us today. And as Peter grew, the culmination of this pattern, I think we see in Matthew 26 around the Last Supper. when Jesus warns his disciples of what is to come and informs Peter that, yes, even Peter is going to deny Jesus, and Peter swears that it will never happen. He says, even though I must die with you, I will never deny you. Of course, we know what happens, right? Peter, that very night, ends up denying that he even knows Jesus, not once, but three times. Can you imagine the guilt, the shame, the self-despising sense that Peter was carrying around inside him after that night? And honestly, I think probably even that Easter evening, even after seeing Jesus appear to them, he probably carried that sense. In that moment where Jesus appeared in the room to the disciples through the locked door, I can imagine that Peter, like the others, probably had tears of joy in his eyes, but I wonder if maybe he didn't kind of step back and try and hide behind the other disciples, avoiding eye contact, because he still had this shame inside. Have you ever been in Peter's shoes? Have you ever done something you're so ashamed of that you thought you could never be forgiven? Have you ever hurt someone so deeply that you felt it was beyond redemption, that you were just utterly beyond or unworthy of forgiveness? I know I have. And I think in those days after Easter, those early days, that's the place we find Peter, that place without hope, that place where he thought, hope is not something for me anymore. That's maybe something someone else deserves, but not me. And so what does Peter do? He goes fishing, right? That's where we see the story today. But that's kind of how things go, isn't it? When you've made a mistake that seems to have brought the future hopes you had crashing to the ground, we often want to go back, right? So back to what was familiar, back to what seemed simpler. So we go back to the things we know, to old habits, whether those are good or bad. And so Peter goes back to what he knows, to fishing. Only this time, did you catch that? Peter even fails at fishing. I can't imagine how he must have been feeling, thinking to himself, I can't even be a disciple, and now I can't even catch a single fish. But then, at dawn, Jesus shows up on the horizon. And I love this. Peter doesn't even recognize him at first, right? And even after the yelling back and forth, imagine they're on a boat out on a lake. And so they're yelling across the water from Jesus to the boat. And even still, Peter doesn't get that it's Jesus. And did you catch this? Not even after the miraculous catch of fish, Peter still doesn't get it until John, the other disciple, gives him one of these and says, Peter, it's Jesus. And then he gets it. Theologians over the centuries have had a field day with this phenomenon of people not quite recognizing Jesus at first after the resurrection. There's all kinds of theories and thoughts on this, but in this moment, I think at least part of why Peter didn't recognize him is he was still deep in his trauma, his shame and his guilt. And if you've ever been there, you know how your eyes are kind of down and you're turned inward. It's like there's this fog over your brain. But when he finally looks up and finally sees, he dives into the water and he swims with all he has to that shore. And I just picture those other guys in the boat saying, Peter, are you serious? You made us come out here and go fishing, and now you're leaving us to do all the work and bring this back? But Peter had to get there first. Why? Because this is the first moment he's had alone with Jesus since that night. So I picture Peter getting out of the water. He's dripping wet, but still has tears in his eyes and looking at Jesus and says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And Jesus just looks at him and says, I know, and I forgive you. You know, the Bible doesn't really give us a picture of that brief, very brief exchange. We can only, we just get to imagine. But I wonder if Jesus wrapped his arms around Peter in a big hug as the dam of tears burst that he'd been holding back. It's a brief moment, but it's a beautiful moment that we get to imagine before the rest of the disciples get there in the boat, right? And when they do, they come on shore, and Jesus says, let's have breakfast. Why? Because in the words of Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, there's not a pain in this world that can't be cured by breakfast food. Right? But seriously, these moments of forgiveness and failure, of failure and forgiveness, can become key moments that define us. These moments of mistakes and mercy can become the crucible that build us into something more if we let them, if we let God work in them. They can become mistakes that break us, or they can become the opportunities that God uses to make us. That moment, it made Peter into a different person. The Peter we see throughout the rest of the Bible and the books of Acts is not the same guy that we see at the beginning of the Gospels. And I have to wonder if this experience isn't part of what gave him that unshakable boldness we see later. It's like he dug in and said, you know, I will never, ever make that mistake again. It was a moment that changed him. And so we don't miss the transformative power of these moments in our own lives. I think it's important that we take a very close look at specifically what happens in this exchange between Jesus and Peter, what they do and don't do, that makes this a moment of reconciliation and transformation rather than something else. We get to look at this intimate moment in Scripture. I think God gives us this as a gift for our own lives. So three things I think we should notice here that we see. One is Jesus takes Peter for a walk alone, right? They talk about what happened. He doesn't shy away from it. And Jesus makes time for this with Peter. You see, when there's been a rift in a relationship, you have to make time to deal with it. And, you know, Gail and I were at a retreat this week with other pastors at a conference, and the speaker there said something that I wanted to hang on to. I wrote it down. He said this: the pain we don't name is pain that we will transmit to others. So Jesus and Peter talk about it. And you just can imagine them walking together alone by the seashore. What a beautiful opportunity. Jesus takes time with him. So whatever you are carrying today, know Jesus wants to take that time with you too. That's the first thing. The second thing we see is this: three times. Notice Jesus repeats these things three times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. Why three times? A couple kind of theological or obvious reasons. One is that Peter denied him three times, so it's sort of that process of naming what happened and owning that. But also, I think it's because we have a really hard time sometimes receiving forgiveness or believing that we're really forgiven. I think Jesus had to repeat this to Peter again and again and again. The third thing we see is the choice. The choice that we make, because when someone hurts us or when we make a mistake that hurts others, we have a choice for how we will respond and what we do next. And Peter and Jesus made some key choices here. So notice what Peter did not do, the choices that he did not make. He didn't do the excuse thing. He didn't say, yes, I denied you, Jesus, but they would have killed me. What was I supposed to do? He didn't make an excuse. He didn't do the defensive thing where he got all defensive when Jesus wanted to talk about it. He also didn't do the "but what about them" thing, you know, that one. Yeah, but the other disciples, what about them? They all ran away too. He didn't do any of that. He made a choice to own his mistake. He humbled himself. He repented, and therefore he was able to learn and grow from this experience. Let's also notice what Jesus did and did not do. Jesus didn't retaliate or seek vengeance. Jesus never does that. Jesus didn't make Peter feel even worse or do a guilt trip. He didn't make Peter pay for his mistake. But notice Jesus also, he didn't just say, it's fine, because it wasn't fine what happened. He was honest about that, and he offered forgiveness. So what we see here is Jesus offers both accountability and grace. And this is important because I think this combination is the secret sauce that can transform the mistake of a lifetime into the growth opportunity of a lifetime. You see, God can turn our greatest failures into our greatest moments of transformation. At the cross, Peter thought that all hope for the future was gone. I think that even on Easter, after seeing Jesus raised, Peter thought that the hope of his place in the future of the church was gone. But through the mercy, accountability, and grace of Jesus offered Peter that opportunity to become something far more than he ever dreamed he could be. Peter becomes the one who spoke to the multitudes on Pentecost in the middle of Jerusalem. He was the one who ends up standing before rulers and the powers of this world proclaiming the gospel without fail. He's the one who leads the church into the future, the one who eventually himself was martyred and killed by Rome. And my friends, if Jesus can do this with Peter, I think there's also hope for us too. Amen? Amen. God, we thank you for your grace in our lives, for grace for the times that we make mistakes, for your guidance for times when others have hurt us and we need healing. God, whatever we're carrying in our hearts today, we turn it over to you. And like you and Peter worked through these things to reconcile and become something more, God, we ask that your Spirit would move in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. Help us to be agents of forgiveness and reconciliation and new beginnings for ourselves and